Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and thank you very much for joining us on the program this week. We got some fun stories about Ashley Pontius opening up for one of the most original joke writers of our generation, Carlos Mencia. Got some fun stories about that. An update about Jeremy's house and my little trip and how that went over there. And of course, we always have some more Honest Ash. Now, if you love the show, like we know you do, make sure you hop on the Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on and drop us one of those 5-star ratings. It means the world to us, costs you absolutely nothing, and, you know, it's just a nice thing to do. So without further ado, get strapped in, crank that volume up to 11, and get ready for the House of the Devil.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Neighborhood to hear, but my neighbor talked to me the other day. She's like, "Were you playing music out your window the other day?" I was like, "Or were you playing actual guitar?" I was like, "Yeah, I was playing actual guitar." So, but it could have been better because I could have used my looper.
She was like, "It almost sounded like music, but you're kind of weird, so I wasn't sure."
Well, what she meant to say was, Mr. Honky Man, what is that crappy crap that's coming out of your house?
Because
it certainly ain't I'm totally making this up. It certainly isn't Marvin Gaye. So
I would love if, like, Jeremy is, like, absolutely shredding this guitar and the whole neighborhood's like, dude, it's fucking amazing. And then as soon as everyone stops to, like, partake in the genius that is Jeremy, then you hear, "I'm so itchy," and then he starts doing one of his original
ghosts.
And they're like, "Oh,
boop, 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 boop." Not
it did
one
not
ghost.
12 ghosts.
My itchy balls, yeah. I got itchy balls, yeah. He's a monster. Get him out of the neighborhood now.
Yeah, Jeremy got his song Itchy Balls that he played last week, on Rob and Joe this week. And
that's amazing.
They were underwhelmed. You know, sometimes they're just not ready. They're not ready for the genius that is a Jeremy Woodworth, I think.
Not every song is Eat It or Amish Paradise.
One more thing before we get the show kicked off. I'll ask you a quick question. Should I tell people about the horrors that I saw at your house yesterday? If you don't want me to, if you want it locked up, I will bring it
out. I don't understand what horrors you could be talking about.
Okay, I'll take that as a maybe. All right.
I mean, can it be any worse than moving an oven and finding a fresh rat?
That was part of it.
Well, I'm sure you could flavor it more with a little bit more spice.
I'm sure I could. Welcome to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth. Yay!
The crowds go wild.
And you know what? I'm going out of order because I think she's on her deathbed right now. I'm not sure.
She's
Give
dying.
It up for the very lovely Ashley Pontius, my co-host extraordinaire.
Hi, Vader. How are you?
Vader?
Now you are
German.
Vader.
It's German for father.
I know. You know what? I like, if you call me Vader, I'm okay with that. Because
By the way, it's V-A-T-E-R for Vater.
Vater. Mein Vater's.
Oh,
Vater.
Good point.
Good point.
Mein Vater!
My No, this is why I like it. Listen, not only because Vader, you'd think, okay, maybe he's into Star Wars. Maybe that's what's working. No, one of my favorite professional wrestlers growing up was Big Van Vader, who was a chubby man that could do moonsaults off the top rope. And one time got his eye actually hit out of its socket during a wrestling match, and it was poking out like this. And you know what he did? He just went like this and popped it back in and then finished the match. And it is one of the most horrifying things you will ever see. A giant fat man with his eye completely out and then him just, let me just, and this pops it right back in.
Whew. It wasn't popped like the guys that can normally pop their eyes versus like completely out.
Let me see if I can find this video of Vader. And also I'm joined by the very... my sweet brother, my blood, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
Who are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's joining us on the program? Is this Mr. Tom Noonan?
That's right. I'm Tom Noonan. when I'm not doing nuke, I like to put it in my fake teeth and bite people.
Oh, okay. Call back to a previous episode, Manhunter. Very good. Very nice.
I like to be known as the most effeminate serial killer. And the most frightening serial killer, and the best movie ever made called Manhunter, where I show people slides. Do you see it?
Do you now see? This is it. I almost have this Vader clip pulled out real quick so you can see his eye popping out.
Oh, I love watching eyes pop out.
You want
it? It always gives me the hottest erection.
If I look, I will probably throw up whatever is left.
Do you think so?
Wow. Another episode where Ashley vomits during the actual episode.
You know what? It's the one thing I haven't done today. Shocker.
She's always a vomiting woman to me. It's my favorite Billy Joel song.
Oh, I can't find it. Well, listen, I will say that it is a grotesque, one of the most grotesque things you'll ever see is Big Van Vader popping his own eyeball back into its socket. So
more than a Theismann.
No, it's definitely not Theismann, or for that matter, Psycho Sid breaking his leg coming off the top rope, which is a 10 out of 10, though. But, you know, we're not even, you know, we're not really a wrestling podcast, and I can just hear Ashley getting drier as we speak.
Well, you aren't wrong, but here's the thing. Sorry, real quick, back to what Jeremy was saying. My favorite Billy Joel song is Up Chuck Girl.
Up Chuck Girl.
Up Chuck Girl.
She's been living
in. She's getting ready to hurl. Da-na-na-na-na.
She'll really want me to hold her hair back before she gets it mixed in her hair. Her hair with vomit.
Ashley, how did you get so ill?
I have no idea.
COVID mixed with Ebola?
Oh, God, don't say that. No, so I did have a COVID test done on Friday, but that's because I'm supposed to have my procedure on Tuesday. I have no reason to believe I have it. I don't think the symptoms are exact, but so I'm not feeling, like, awesome, but I also, unfortunately, have my period. I know, boys. And, I just feel bad all the way around. And this morning at 3 a.m., I was watching some TV and I coughed and I shit myself.
Do you think this video of Psycho Sid that I pulled up breaking his leg will help? Here you go. Check this out, guys.
Yeah, I can't.
There we go.
Sid Vicious up on top.
Oh, that is so difficult.
Look at the left foot.
Oh,
so
boy.
To watch. We've seen it already.
Ka-chunk.
Match is over.
Anyway, he lost that one, oddly enough. That's R.I.P. Psycho Sid, even though he's not dead at all. He's very much alive. Not a great wrestler, though.
You figured those boots would help his leg not break?
No, exact opposite. Snapped it like a fucking chicken wing. Amazing. Uh-huh. Amazing.
That's why, kids, you need to drink your milk and get your calcium.
Ashley, you got, after having a little rough spell of a show getting canceled on you, you got to host for the great Carlos Mencia, very original guy, one of the greatest joke writers, I think, of our generation. What was it like working with Carlos Mencia all weekend?
Fuck Carlos Mencia.
So you're saying it on the pod. I like it because I knew that you had didn't have a great time with Carlos Mencia. Is there anything you want to share with our audience, or is just going to go straight up fuck Carlos Mencia?
No. I can dive in a little bit.
Okay. What did he do that made you to the fuck Carlos Mencia part of it here?
Oh shit. So he was pretty good for the most part all weekend. Super nice, very courteous to me, pretty much the whole time. Sorry, everybody, got a mild cough. So everything was fine up until yesterday, the very last day of shows. And I will just be 100% honest. The crowd hated me the very first show on Saturday. hated my guts. There was not a joke they liked. Like, they hated my joke about WAP. They hated my joke about coming inside me like a blizzard.
To be fair, there were a lot of WAPs in the audience, and we're not talking about the pussy kind. You know what I mean? Racial slur. <Get it? laughs> They just were confused by, they felt attacked, probably.
They prefer to be called Goombas.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. And let's go to the 14-minute mark and remove
and
that.
Remove.
No. You had a rough set the first show, and then you had a pair of shows, and then I guess Carlos Mencia saw your set.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Tommy Simbazo, friend of the podcast, laugh finder extraordinaire, see, I'm even turning into Eric. So
I like that extraordinaire has been thrown into your vernacular
God.
Now.
Ugh, it's horrible. Anyway, he is on stage performing. I am standing off to the side watching Tommy, in awe of him at all times because he's a fantastic human being. And Carlos comes over and he goes, "Hey, don't do that self-deprecating stuff." And I was like, "I'm sorry." And he's like, "It's sad." He's like, "It's sad as shit. Like, they don't find it funny. Like, it's just sad. Like, don't do it." And And he's like, "I know that, like, you don't love yourself right now," or whatever. Like, that's, you know. Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. You're picking up on it. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I stare daggers into this cholo. Like, I was just...
You should follow my career. I just steal everything. I don't even think anything up at all.
Hey, yo, Ashley, I just wanted to say I watched your set. I couldn't steal any of your jokes. And that was the biggest problem that I had with your set. More
and
than
you do
anything.
More jokes as if you're a Mexican like me.
Yo.
Tommy had the best suggestion. Tommy was like, "You should get up there and do the Jennifer Lopez bit from South Park." And I was like, "I am Jennifer Lopez. It's taco, 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 burrito. It's taco fever.
Next week, Carlos Mencia. These guys shot into me as if my womb was going to explode. Hey, everybody loves them. So.
Oh.
Sorry, now I got a cough. So that was like, sorry, that was not helpful because it was the middle of that show, and then we still had the second show. Like, why would you say that? And I didn't ask for his advice. Like, I was by myself when he felt the need to share this. So that was frustrating. I call Eric and I'm like, "Eric, I'm gonna shank him with a disposable silverware. Like, I'm so angry."
Yeah.
So then the second show rolls around. I take Eric's advice and I was just like, "Fuck the small audience. They're either gonna love me or hate me." And at this point, it doesn't matter. The small audience ended up being wonderful people. They loved all of us and they were very supportive of me. That show started 9:45. He finished at 12:05.
Ooh.
Fuck that shit. I have an hour and a half drive, which almost makes me feel like he did it on purpose because he knew I was pissed at him. And I'm like, I will fucking, oh God, I will carve you out and wear you. So then before he gets off stage, this really bothered me. In front of the audience, he calls me over and he goes, "Hey, sweetie, go get me a beer, please." And I was like,
And then you go, "Thank you." Like that. And give you like a double clap.
and then just yell into the kitchen, "Cerveza!" And I go, "Okay, what beer would you like?" And he's like, "I don't care." So I go to the bar, and all the way down the hallway, I just finger the whole way down the hallway. So I get to the bar.
You could have gotten him a Schlitz.
I don't know what
because he said any beer.
Yeah, well.
So
go on, so Ashley. Tell him what kind of beer did you get him? And while you're doing that, I'm going to get a beer.
Honestly, I can't even tell you what beer I got him because I went to the bartender and said, "Give me your shittiest beer."
There you go. See, that's what I expect.
So I have no idea what she actually gave me. I wasn't paying attention.
And
so
you know what happens while it's still foamy?
No.
That's your time for a contribution. What? A contribution to the beer of the foamy head.
Oh. Dude, I'm so sick. I can't even think sexually. I'm fucked up. Like, I can't even function. I can't even perform.
Did you ever see the movie Memento?
Parts of it. That's the one where he's like trying to piece together what happened to him.
Yeah, and that's the one where Trinity gives him a beer from the bar that she hands around to everybody to give a contribution to.
Yeah, like everybody spits in it at one point. Yeah,
I haven't seen that in years. Holy shit.
Own it, and I don't remember it being... I thought it was such a great movie, and I rewatched it, and I was like, this movie's okay. It's not great.
Yeah. But yeah, so I come back with the beer, and as he's drinking it, and I'm leaving the show area, he says... "I love beer almost as much as she loves cock."
Which...
And I was like, ha, 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 ha. I will drop a lowrider on your fucking head.
Which is clearly a lie because there's no way he loves beer that much, right? Like,
fair.
I mean,
fair.
We all know Ashley, guys.
God, I just...
Ashley became a lesbian. We're pushing her towards the other way.
She's not happy with either of us right now. But also, I can't tell if she's just sick at the same time. No matter what.
Yeah, I'm just kind of...
Other than this guy going to like midnight and then you getting home at 2 a.m., was it a decent weekend other than that?
Yeah. I was proud of myself. Had a wonderful time at the club. Loved the club owner and the staff there at Magoobies. And Tommy did... fantastic.
I will say I stopped by your show Thursday night, right? And
I appreciate you.
There was one fun story that I got from them, other than seeing the wonderful Ashley Pontius live and in action, which if you haven't done so, do so. You got a new website that's coming up soon. I saw some of its in its beta. So you guys got to check out Ash's website. But look, I'm sitting there while you're up on stage and it's still people are kind of coming up and they're seating people and Hannah, the door girl, is gone. So me and Tommy are up front. Tommy goes behind the desk, and a group of like five people come in, and he's like, "Okay, let me see your tickets." And they show him his tickets. Tommy doesn't know what he's doing. He just starts clicking around on the computer up there like this. And he's like, "Uh-huh. Wait a minute. Can I see that one more time? Can I see that again?" And he's looking at it, and they think he's doing something on the computer. Meanwhile, he's not doing. He's just touching buttons like this, and then looking intently at it, and then looking back at the thing. I swear to God, he does this for 3 minutes until the lady comes back.
That's
he's like,
so
"I'm having
funny.
Some." He just keeps going, "I think I'm having some trouble with this. Let me look at that one more time." And I had to leave because I'm just laughing. I was like, "What makes you think this guy works here? There's nothing. There's nothing
he's
about
not a uniform. Like,
he's not in a uniform. He's wearing a biker vest made out of stop signs. There's no way this is happening." So that was pretty fun. And then I also I have one other story, I guess, from this weekend. I guess I have a couple stories, but real quick shout out. I watched a movie last night that I thought was going to be bad. And I think I even messaged Ashley. I was like, don't watch this movie. It's not great. It's called Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight. It's on Netflix currently. It's a 2020 film. And it is, it's filmed, it's a Polish horror movie that... It feels like it's a movie that if you lived in Poland and the only horror films you ever saw were Friday the 13th, Scream, and I don't know, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, then this is the funniest movie that's ever been invented in your life. Like, this is, it's hitting everything. But I will say, as I got through the movie, the third act is pretty good. And there are some good watchable gore moments in this movie that are like, I mean, there's a wonderful scene with a wood chipper, and the two bad guys in this thing look like, Jeremy will probably get this reference, but probably not you, Ash, but like in the game Left 4 Dead, you know, the boomers, the things that like explode on you, Jeremy, when you shoot them.
Yeah.
There's two big fat guys covered in boils, and those are the two bad guys in this movie. And man, they look gnarly and great. I really loved them.
Are they both played by Dan Aykroyd?
No, actually, oddly enough, played by that fat, that old lady actress from the movie Goonies that Ashley so kindly compared me to with long hair earlier this week.
Kevin doesn't have a friend!
Owen! Owen! So that was... Listen, it's on Netflix. You want to waste like a good 90 minutes of your day? Check out Nobody Sleeps in the Woods. It's worth the watch. It's worth the watch. Now...
Now, Goonies needed to end with Sloth taking a basketball and throwing it into his own mother's head so it'd explode against that ship.
Yes.
So, she screamed.
I was just thinking the same thing, Jeremy, and you said it first, but yeah, absolutely.
All you need to do is take that scene from A Deadly Friend and then just superimpose it onto the ship from the Goonies, so...
Okay. Yeah. Agreed. 100%. If you're joining us from and you listened to last week's episode, there was a revelation about Jeremy and the rats at his house. Now, Jeremy, what is the rat kill count up to? How many BBs have you pumped into these fuckers?
I have emptied out an entire BB gun, and the count is at 7.
7. Now, is that counting the one that I did? Because I came over to help clean a little bit yesterday.
Your count would be number 8.
I'm number 8, because your sweet wife said that it was 7 when I did it, but you're saying that's 8.
Because the dog got one out in the yard.
Okay, so the dog got one out in the yard. Okay, so I came over to Jeremy's house yesterday to see the damage, which honestly, I got to be honest with you, Jeremy, knowing the person that you are and the way you've lived in the past, I was pleasantly surprised by the level of filth.
Just a little less filthy.
It was less filthy than I really thought it was going to be, in all honesty.
Well, now that I live with a woman... And I actually have to clean up after myself. I can't just like take a dump in the middle of the floor like Gigi Allen and rub it all over my face and just dance around like Kevin Bacon from Footloose, you know?
I will say
that the old days.
Jeremy has really come up in this world. Are you aware, Ashley, that Jeremy has an above ground pool now?
I am not aware.
Oh, it is. It looks like, Jeremy's got a nice above ground pool that currently, if I were to describe the water, looks like the world's biggest ramen noodle collection. It is filled to the brim with a brown liquid that can only be described as that's where the bodies are right now. But I did.
Oh. So it looks like my pants this morning.
Yes. Yeah. I did take a picture of it. And I said, hey, anybody want to come over to Jeremy's pool? He's having a party today. And I did send that to Joe Robinson and got a laugh out of him.
Make sure you have your penicillin before you go in the pool.
Now, I was helping just clean up the kitchen a bit, and your sweet wife is peeling up the floor, because I guess she wants to get the floors redone, which I also thought was weird that she's not trying to help just clean the level of rat feces that I found around your kitchen, that the floor became the primary thing she decided to do, but I was like, okay, whatever. We did.
You know, if it's going to be peeled up, who cares to clean up all this shit? But worse than that, is guess how long all that shit took to get on that floor?
How long?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
I don't know, Jeremy, because when I pulled back that oven and looked behind the Lazy Susan, there is a level of filth that I must have scooped, I'm not lying to you, like 7 shovels worth of just straight grime rat dung out from there. And it is a smell that is still within my soul right now.
I don't know why I'm coughing and my nose is stuffed up. Maybe I have a cold. Oh no, it's probably all the rat filth.
Yeah, I think all of your cabinets need to go immediately, because what I only saw what was under one. I know underneath the other ones that I didn't have access to, it is a goddamn living nightmare. And while the Iron Maiden helped with the situation, it wasn't enough to really block it out of my memory. But I feel like the countertops completely cleaned and like a percentage underneath. And I did discover one slowly dying poisoned rat that I did take out and put out of its misery with the BB gun. Luckily, I did it in 2 shots, because that's all the shots you had left in the BB gun, which were, I was like, man, I hope I don't miss this one, because I definitely hit him in the shoulder first. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, buddy. Hold on. One more ought to do it. And I literally was shaking. And I was like, this is the last one. This is it. And I pumped it in, and I was able to put this rat out of its misery. But I did get, I got closer to it than I wanted to, because I didn't want to risk missing it, which means a little bit of splatter got back on me. And so I now have the bubonic plague and am immune to COVID-19. So that's some exciting stuff. That's some exciting stuff.
You know what my favorite band is?
Rat.
Anthrax.
I
know they listen to it. I live it.
I was gonna say Kix, and I was like, oh my god, Mickey Coachella is opening up for you. Holy shit.
How did the last update end? I had just gotten poisoned, right?
You just got the poison, and they started to eat it, and you had only had 4 that you had shot since the.
I was up to 4.
Yeah, you're up to 4. You're up to 4.
So the 5th, I think the 5th was a younger one, which I got behind the shelf, and still the blood was there when you cleaned up from the other day, because I wasn't going to move all that shit to clean the blood up. And number 5 was the dog out in the yard shaking it. And the only reason I knew the dog was killing this rat is because the other little dog comes in and comes up to my leg like, Lucy's doing something. She's killing a rat right now. I know that he's like trying to tell me something, mm-hmm. because he's a dog, but he can't say. But he's like, I was like, no, he never comes up to me unless he needs something. And I know he'd been fed. He'd gone outside. He's telling me that Lucy is killing a rat out in the yard, which I go out to see. So,
well, good for Lucy. She did a good job. Good for Lulu. Now,
number six was under the shelf. Also. Trying to make sure I got my no. Number six came all the way up to the bedroom during the daytime, which kind of bothered me because I don't like them fucking roaming in the fucking daytime. And I'm sitting on my bed, quiet as can be. All of a sudden, I hear a fucking squeak, and I know it's close, motherfucker. And the dog has chased the fucking rat right up to the bedroom door to the fucking ladder, and it's underneath, and I can see it. So I don't have the gun with me, so I try to get it with the grabber. And it moves, and I'm like, oh, I fucking lost it. It's gone back towards the kitchen. It's behind this fucking cabinet, and I see it. It's crawling up the fucking paint can, and I cap it there, and there's blood all over that fucking mess, and I still didn't clean it up because I'm fucking lazy. And my wife's like, why is there blood there? And I was like, well, I didn't clean up everything except for the main blood on the floor that I dripped everywhere.
You can't expect me to clean up all this rat blood. Like, you just can't. You're asking too much of me.
It is a fucking OK Corral fucking blood mess. And the only reason I clean up the main blood is so the dogs don't lick it.
There's
rat blood filled with poison.
You're living in a legit Stephen King horror novel right now.
I am fucking Brad Dourif, and I'm chewing my chaw. Like, you got to get to him now. I'll tell you what, when I was in the hospital and Nurse Ratchet wouldn't let me get it on. I'm Brad Dourif.
I do have one story about your sweet wife that I thought was really funny, and I told to my wife, and her face of pure shock was great. So while I was there, I was cleaning up, and she was just like, I want to get the counters redone. I was like, you got things other than counters. I was like, yeah, but like, no, she looks at me and she goes, no offense to your house, but I could not cook at your house because you have no counter space.
What?
And I was just like, wait a minute, your kitchen right now, you're saying you'd prefer this kitchen right now, and it's over going to my house and cooking something. Which I thought, hey, I told my wife, and she almost as if she had had a heart attack. She couldn't believe she had heard such things.
Oh, you're going to be judgmental. You hardly have any counter space at all.
Which was a 10 out of 10 moment there. But no, Jeremy, I think there's some strides. I'm hoping that, you know, I'm just going to suggest this, throw this out here. I think you should get a 5-gallon bucket with water and do the old farmer's one, because then you'd avoid them like falling behind your like cabinets and mummifying in the walls of your house.
Yeah. I'm gonna probably like find 5 more dead ones somewhere once that shit gets moved. And then I'll probably like, you know, make little statues out of them, you know, one playing tennis and another one, you know, playing guitar. You know, they'll look pretty mummified, but, you know, you got to use what you work with.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a rat.
I'll sell each of them for $100 each.
Jeremy, at this point, I mean, I'm just going to say this. I think that at this point, you just need to mate with their queen so that your line can, you know, you just join the household together, right? You'll be the rat king. You'll have weird offspring that look kind of like you. Rats that can play guitar. They'll start a band called Kix, a Kix cover band, and it'll be great.
You know, do you think we would ever see the movie Rat Boy with what's her name from all the Clint Eastwood movies?
Yes, I guess. I don't know what you're talking about, but yes.
It's a movie called Rat Boy.
I've never seen Rat Boy.
It even has Robert Townsend as the taxi driver who drives him around. He's like, hey, you're all right, rat boy. You're just an ugly little rat boy. So, yeah, Robert Townsend.
Right.
I kid you not. Before he made it big.
I guess I'll have to see it at this point. What else? What other choice do I have?
Oh, it's in my top 10.
I do. I think it is about that time, though, to hear a little bit of Honest Ash.
Oh, and it's about that time again for another segment of Honest Ash. And here's Ashley Pontius.
Hi there, listeners. It's Ashley. I wanted to let you know that I once let a guy fill my ass with everlasting gobstoppers, and I let him eat them out like he was a hungry, hungry hippo. Hashtag Hasbro. This has been Honest Ash.
Join us next week for another segment of Honest Ash with Ashley Pontius.
How much did you get paid?
Oh, just beautiful, Ashley. Look at you. Never have any gobstoppers. I feel like it would be weird as they, like, did they go in one color and had you removed a whole layer just with your anus? Had your anus removed one layer of gobstopper?
I mean, there were one or two that, you know, he swallows but then accidentally lets back into the chamber. But, I mean, I think he swallowed.
Just the idea of you spitting them out like fucking pellets. Hey, fun idea. When Jeremy runs out of BBs, can he just bring you over with your ass and you can shoot him to kill the rats in his house?
And that's what made us a superhero team. Now, the gobstoppers don't bother me, but I think I'd be a little weirded out by Whoppers.
Ooh. Yeah,
yeah, Whoppers
like
would be a bit much. I will say,
it's
I don't know.
Suppository.
Speaking of assholes, the great Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock sent me a horrid video last night of you guys are familiar with the part from Eminem's song Rap God where he's like where he's just rapping really fast.
Was it like a pan with eggs on it?
No, it was a guy holding open a gaping asshole that was going like this, and I watched it 4 or 5 times in a row. I've never laughed so fucking hard. He mailed that to me and Tommy. Me, Tommy, and Justin are kind of in a closed group away from Die Laughing Productions, where when we find the foulest thing that you could possibly see on the internet, I'm like, yeah, that one's good. Let's send it to the boys. And hey, that one got me pretty good. That one got me good.
Oh, the worst thing that my friend ever sent me was the Bong J. Which is literally a glass bong that somebody is smoking while it's actually in a woman's vajay.
The bubbler's down in the cooch. Got it.
Something like that. I was just like, I don't want to see that. It's just kind of, it's just weird.
I mean, after the amount of horse fucking that I have been sent in my life, there's nothing that can really bother me, I think, anymore. I don't think seeing a guy in missionary position getting drilled by a horse is like, after you've seen that, I'm like, well, I guess show me a murder video of some guy getting chainsawed, because I can't. I've been desensitized.
You know, I'm definitely against any sort of having sex with a horse. But still, there's that curiosity in my back of my mind that would still really want to see a horse having sex with Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, and the important thing is that I just think, you know, Kathy Bates deserves love, too, more importantly. And that's that's more important than anything, is that even Kathy Bates should be able to fuck.
Well, the worst thing is that the horse still kind of gives it a second look like, it's Kathy Bates.
Do you don't think I could do better than Kathy Bates? Like that.
I'd rather fuck a mule.
Oh, yeah.
Judgmental fucking horses.
Well, anyway, folks, should we get into tonight's Fansgiving movie?
Who suggested this?
This would be a friend of the show, avid listener, Miss Laura Sands. She sent me this movie suggestion, the 2009 movie, The House of the Devil, which is, I got to be honest with you, hadn't heard of it, didn't know anything about it, and it is an okay movie. So The House of the Devil, I didn't get like super in depth with. My new thing is, after we went through the Halloween series, the Fansgiving, it's fun, it's laid back. We just watch the movie and I give you my thoughts, kind of like how Cabin in the Woods went, right? So, dude, this House of the Devil movie, I'll tell you the things I love about it, okay? Things I really like. I love it's very, very much a throwback movie of like an early, late 70s, early 80s haunted house style flick. It's all about mood and setting. I love that it's clear that they didn't have dollies to work on with, and they do lots of zoom in, zoom out shots, which I think Jeremy's a big fan of. For people, more modern movie watchers, it's the same kind of style that Rob Zombie uses when he does The Devil's Rejects. It's just very popular in the 70s, and very popular with low-budget films. And, I mean, there are some... It's very much a callback to an appreciation film of all those things. It also was filmed on 16mm, which is, again, another, you know, classic way that a lot of horror movies were filmed back then. And I believe that it takes place... We can assume that it takes place in 1983 because of some of the songs that come out in it. I forget, what is it? Like the... trying to remember some of the songs that were in it. I had it.
One thing leads to another by The Fix.
There we go, The Fix. And I kept, I had Kicks in my head because it's been stuck in my head all day, but I knew it was something like that.
I literally met The Fix at Kemp Mill when it was on Dobbin Road back in 1982-83. And the same day that I went to meet them to get like a poster signed and like a 45. I couldn't afford an actual LP. I bought a 45 of Saved by Zero, their hit at the time. But I went home that night and I was like, wow, I got to see the fix. And they just aired their premiere video of one thing leads to another. Like, man, this is such a fucking rocking band, man. They're happening and everything. And I'm like, I'm an idiot these days because I like the fix.
So. I don't think the fix is bad. I think, if anything, the fix was in.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing. They were no psychedelic furs.
Yeah, that is true. If I knew who that band was, I would be excited.
They don't do the song for the Ministry, Love My Way.
Oh.
Who also has the hit song, God Hates Fags. So.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know they were that progressive. Very nice.
Fake, it's a fake joke thing, actually, if you've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
It's not real.
Cool. Tight.
Some people think it's real, and so you go to their website, and their song and their ministry called Love God's Way, and it's like, Love God's Way, it's a new... Which is a psychedelic first song, so... It's real low-key humor, so...
Oh, no, I'll check it out. I mean, I am just so pumped up full of drugs right now that nothing is real. So that's cool.
I just, I hope that when we get to heaven, all we'll have is psychedelic real and Creed. I'm glad we'll have those two forms of music on the other side to really get us through the rest of eternity.
We know the only person that'll actually make it to heaven is Chris Isaac. So. I wrote this song while I was in jail getting raped. So. Sorry, I'm stealing directly from Come Town.
That is a direct Come Town.
I am
rip-off.
Carlos Mencia of podcasting.
That was
man,
a good ass.
Shame on you.
That was a good ass Come Town bit, though. That was a good ass Come Town bit.
Gosh.
Shout outs to our boys at Come Town, and who I guess the only one who actually maybe even knows my name is Stavros Halkias. But I did
Columbia, baby.
Columbia. He's from Greektown in Baltimore. He's a very Greek fat man. Yeah.
I thought he was from Columbia.
No, he went to UMBC though, and he would frequently come to my open mic at Coco Lane. Very funny gent. And then
why couldn't I host for that minority?
And it's funny, I used to have Stavros's number and I could like text him and he would text me back, and then he became kind of famous and he's never talked to me again. So that's rocks though. But no, I like Stavros. I saw him actually, he came and was headlining after we had done the murder mystery on last two Fridays ago, and I got to say hi to him. He's doing great. It was good. I didn't mention that he doesn't answer my phone calls anymore, but he knew it. I could tell that he didn't want to talk to me, so that's cool. I'm not worried. Yeah. I'm not fucking worried about it, man. I'm fine about it.
Yeah.
So
he doesn't like you.
I mean, a lot of people don't, so that's nothing new. But this movie is, listen, it's fun. It does have a little bit of star power. You do in the first scene get Dee Wallace, who's at the very beginning of the movie, right, Jeremy?
Otherwise known as E.T.'s mom and the chick from Wolfen. No, The Howling.
The Howling, correct.
Like some movie named E.T. or something.
E.T., the extra testicle. I think it's funny that, I don't know if you know this, Ashley, but my middle initial is T, which stands for Tristan, and not the loud belch I was about to do into the mic I tried to get off mic to do there. But...
my name is Eric Tristan.
Well, that movie came out in 1982, and my parents thought E.T. was such a good movie that they wanted to make sure my initials were E.T. so that they could call me E.T. as a youngster, which probably means, E.T. came out in probably, late 82, early 83?
Oh, God.
My parents probably fucked to the movie E.T., and they were like, yup, we gotta name our son. Like, they saw that alien and his neck grow, and with that neck growing, that was my dad's peen going into my sweet mother. Oh. And Jeremy at 12 years old saying, I think E.T. is great. Shut up and watch me nail mom. And then that's how I was born.
That's insane. I just feel like I learned so much about you. And I feel like you're also drawing attention to anyone else's birth date. Like, what films were popular? Because I'm pretty sure I'm the youngest of two girls. They're 6 and 8 years older than me, or three girls. And pretty sure I was born around the time The Last Crusade.
So yeah. I have a couple of movies that are linked to my my sexual past. Neither of which. One I do as part of a bit where I talk about the first time I had sex with my sweet wife, which was to The Scorpion King. The Mummy 2, The Scorpion King, and The Rock's Rock Hard Abs, because I Netflix and chilled before the Netflix was a thing, because I had to order DVDs in advance. And that was the only one I had. So, yeah, that was.
Oh my God.
We watched The Rock in The Scorpion King, and she was like, you know what? This is it. I'm ready. But another maybe lesser known story, I'm not sure I've shared this with either of you. The first HJ I got, the first HJ I ever got from a young lady, we were in a movie theater, and the movie that I was watching in this empty movie theater was none other than Finding Nemo. So I anytime Finding Nemo comes on, I do fondly remember of me getting my hand a nice little tug in a movie theater.
Wait, do you get hard every time Finding Nemo comes on?
No, because listen, I'll be honest with you, getting an HJ to completion, it's a difficult thing. It takes a lot of work on my part because I know how to do that, right? And there's no one who's going to do that better than me, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter who it is. I will do that the best.
Right.
So, no, it doesn't really do it, but it is weird anytime my kids are watching it. I'm like, I don't have wholesome memories.
Thoughts.
You understand? I'm like, it's not my favorite movie to watch with my children. I'll tell you that.
That's fair. I gave my first blowjob during Jack Frost, the Killer Snowman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that. Jack Frost. See, that seems like an appropriate movie to give a blowjob to, because I was just like, you know, nothing gets me hotter than a killer snowman.
Well, so I go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I can tell you a lot of the movies that I was having my first sexual experiences to, because they were all with my first boyfriend, and you can tell the seasons, like that Neil Sedaka song, Calendar Girl. It was like, you know, Thanksgiving, and I was giving him a hand job, and it was Thanksgiving. So that's what we were watching. And then it was December, and I'm like, okay, Jack Frost, I'll give you a BJ. And then the night I lost my virginity, we went and saw this really shitty movie in theater starring Colm Farrell and... Oh God. And it's a really shitty one with Russell Crowe. It's like a fairy tale. Somebody look it up. It's so horrible.
Russell Crowe and Colin Farrell in a movie? Okay.
I think she's thinking of Old School.
No, it's like a fantasy, like a
Winter's Tale?
Yes. Oh, I lost my virginity that night.
Ew. What a horrible movie.
It was horrible.
Let's see. Winter's Tale. All right, hold on. Oh, this is 2014. Winter's Tale.
It looked very drama, and
it was
kind
awful.
Of surreal.
Yeah. Very fantasy, like trapped in time type of stuff. But it's which is always the super dramatic romantic where it's like, I've literally come back through time for you.
All right, let's play a fun game.
Let's play a fun game
with Winter's Tale real quick. Winter's Tale. All right, what is the Rotten Tomatoes tomato meter for Winter's Tale? Let's see, you can get the closest percentage out of 100. What is the Rotten Tomatoes score?
I've never seen it. Never seen it.
Well, just take a guess. Take a guess.
Two.
What, 2%. Okay, 2%. Ashley, what do you got?
I'm going to say 9.
A 9%? Well, if we're playing Price is Right rules, Jeremy, you've lost, and you have won, because the real answer, Ashley, is 13%. 13% tomato meter. Now, the audience score, not much better, 43%. So still an F. Still an F on the percentage.
It was horrible.
But
I can't believe I got wet after that.
All right, Winter's Tale. Congrats.
Can I talk Thank about you. My sex life?
Yeah, please. Yes. Thank you.
It's always important that I insist on playing Witches of a Sabbath by Blois before I always have sex with my wife.
What movie is that?
It's the music Blois. Dream of Witch's Sabbath, Symphony Fantastique. So,
okay.
Does it make her drip? Does she get drippy?
No, but I always insist that she pretends as if she's dead and don't move at all. So,
okay. Yeah. Well,
I'm into it.
So there is one other big star name in this movie, guys. Back to the House of the Devil.
Yes.
One Tom Noonan, which Jeremy was so kind to present us with that wonderful Tom Noonan impression. Tom Noonan, of course, famous. I know him mostly from RoboCop 2, but also from a past episode of Manhunter. One of our back in like episode 70, we did that one. It's been ages ago. Which is actually the original cut of Red Dragon, the Silence of the Lambs universe. So he played the Red Dragon in Manhunter, the first iteration of that film.
Your turn. You've been patient with me.
Welcome to our new podcast. It's where Ashley and Jeremy just try to talk at the same time and then are so kind to each other, they can't decide who goes. But Jeremy, please tell us what's going on.
I think Tom Noonan got into my fucking head like a demon, because I had been in the fucking hospital losing my fucking mind in 1989, just coming out of high school. They had me howled all so fucking up much. I go to see RoboCop, and I literally feel like RoboCop after he's like shredded into pieces and thrown onto the fucking street. And I'm watching Tom Noonan as he like has this cop like fucking cut open in front of a kid. And I'm like, it's the most frightening movie I'd ever seen, because I'm so fucking on drugs out of the fucking hospital. Like, I literally had to like leave the theater, and I'm coming back in just like shaking, like, this is like having a fucking episode or something. I was like, oh, this is a great movie. Straight out of the fucking hospital watching this shit. Like, oh my God. I literally almost felt like RoboCop with my arms like at my side, feeling like a robot because you can fucking move. With all the fucking Haldol in my system, so.
All right.
Now, he's definitely a creepy dude. You know what I mean? Like, he definitely projects kind of a creepy aura about him, like his old demeanor. But he was also in Eight-Legged Freaks, which is kind of a shitty horror movie that we should
do. Oh, yeah, we should do Eight-Legged Freaks one day. A great David Arquette film.
And more than that is when he's trying out the nuke in the fucking lab. And the guy gives him the one nuke, and he just starts talking like, bleep, 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 and you're like, oh, what the fuck is this shit? It's like a fucking, all of a sudden so freaked out that he's like a fucking, charismatic preacher or something on the fucking drug, so.
All right, and next week on our episode of psychoactive drugs that Jeremy had to do in the 80s and horror movies that he watched during that time, we'll go over Evil Dead 3. I don't know. House of the Devil does have another starlet, our main heroine, which is Jocelyn Donahue, who plays the main character Samantha through most through this film. It is interesting to note Jocelyn Donahue is still on her comeuppance here. She actually played Wendy in Dr. Sleep, replacing the Shelley Duvall in the Dr. Sleep movie. So she plays the mom of little Danny in that film. Which, by the way, Dr. Sleep, great film. Go watch that. It's a good movie.
I want to say 30 pounds heavier than Shelley Duvall.
And not to harp back on Cumtown, but again, last week's Cumtown bit about the Film Actors Guild, and goddamn it, I was like, so Jack Nicholson, did you ever fuck Shelley Duvall? And that shit was so funny to me. God, again,
no.
I will stop talking about our a podcast that's better than ours.
Robin Williams, did
Robin
you have
Williams.
Sex with Shelley Duvall on you? The movie Popeye?
That shit was so funny. God damn it, that shit was good. So yeah. Yeah, and she's also in Insidious Chapter 2, although I can't remember what character she plays. I'm just literally clicking around. Now, the movie's pretty straightforward. It's basically she is offered $400 to go babysit for one night at a remote location, ignores all the classic tropes of don't do this, and still does it anyway. Tom Noonan, who plays Mr. Ullman in the film, does say that, you know, it's not really that. You're here to watch my mother, and we don't really have a kid, and yeah, I'm super creepy, and you don't notice. I can't tell if Tom Noonan is just 7 foot tall or if this actress, Jocelyn, is just 4 foot tall, but he looks like a fucking giant next to her. Very intimidating and scary looking. And he plays
like the giant from Thompson Twin Peaks.
Yeah, very, very similar. Very similar. And he plays
a little less German.
He does play Mr. Ullman, which some people have said about this movie is a callback to The Shining, who Mr. Ullman is also the guy who gives Jack his job at the Overlook Hotel, which is kind of a similar role in this movie where he's basically offering a young lady a job at a weird haunted place, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The story is pretty The story is pretty straightforward. It's a lot of just her walking around a house and being a little spooked out. Very slow. It is a slow goddamn burn,
yes.
Until you get
now,
honestly, nothing happens in this movie, and I mean nothing until like an hour in.
I must say. This movie, slow, and to the 12-minute mark, literally brought it to a screeching halt dead. And she literally sits down on the steps, and they have a montage of time passing as she's sitting on the steps like, you fucking movie.
You fucking
motherfucker. and I hate to say they probably couldn't afford that fucking actual song Moving in Stereo by the Cars as she walks around for like 5 minutes straight, and I'm just thinking like, she's walking around the campus, she has some real tight jeans, don't you wish you were watching Phoebe Cates instead coming out of a pool.
But her girlfriend says, hey, this could be the chance of a lifetime, you fucking bum. She drives her out to this remote location and says, yeah, we should leave here immediately. I will say her friend that drops her off there, while they're Samantha is talking to Mr. Ullman in the other room, and she's left there with the candy dish, and she decides to eat one of the candies. She's like, ugh, this is gross, and she immediately just picks another one out. Like, there's gonna be a difference. Like, maybe I just picked the wrong already opened weird strawberry filled candy in here. I better pick a different one this time and it'll be better. I did
find
that
odd. I have never done it.
Yeah, I but listen, look at that place. I'm not eating anything that isn't prepackaged in this fucking house, okay? Like, I don't need a
just variant. Expecting after the first candy that she sits there and slowly starts to die.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, that was ironic.
But
oh, by the way, you learn the hard way if you ever go to any old folks place, because they have the candy dish, but it's just filled with peanuts.
Ugh.
But of course they're plain peanuts.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
If you bring an unsalted nut into this house, get the fuck out.
But the thing is, you sit there and you start to eat like a half bowl of them, and then you realize when she comes back into the room, she's like, well, you know, ever since I lost my teeth, I can't really eat the M&Ms. but at least I can suck all the candy and the chocolate off of them, and I put the peanuts in this bowl here.
So they're just the sucked off remnants of peanut M&Ms. Oh yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's a good bit, Jeremy. That's a good one. R.I.P. Grandma. Always had the best nuts. So I will say there's after she leaves, after much protest, she's like, nah, it's $400. Just leave me here, girl. She leaves her there, and then I find this the most, for some reason, one of the most unbelievable things in this movie is that she just pulls over at a graveyard to smoke a cigarette, as if she is incapable of pressing in the little car lighter till it pops. She has to pull over to smoke one. She can't drive down the road and do this. And you'll see actually a cameo by the director Ty West, who is the gentleman that pulls up beside her. That is the very goofy looking director who put himself in the movie, like, hey, what's going on, ha ha, like that. And
I smell the Kevin Smithness of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he ends up blowing her brains out, which is actually, hey, something exciting that actually happens in the movie. It's a good headshot. And then I do like that he does grab her cigarette and continues to smoke it. But also, like, why does he kill this bitch? Like, he was like, wait a minute, you're not the babysitter? Blap. Like, who cares that you did that or saw her or anything? There was no reason to murder that poor girl.
He's working for the family. It's very obvious he's tied up the loose end. And he's the pizza boy.
And he is the pizza boy. Hey, speaking of, yes, she orders pizza, and if you look at the phone, there's an actual phone number, not a 555 number, which is interesting. But then she, when the pizza finally gets there, she's very spooked, and she grabs it. And the way she holds the pizza, that thing bothered me the most out of anything. She holds the pizza box up and down vertically. Like, that's not how you carry a fucking pizza, lady. She ate pizza earlier in the film. Like, it begs the question, has she never had a whole pizza? She just assumes that you can carry them this way? I don't understand. Even in shock and fear, there was nothing that would say, hey, I need to carry this pizza vertically over to the table right now. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know how I like eating the pizza? I put it sideways, and I just roll up into a big old ball and eat the whole pizza as a ball. Yeah. It's like a piece of carpet.
I eat it like those Pink Panther insulation commercials. That's how I prefer my pizza.
You roll choose up. The way you eat your pizza. I has my way of eating my pizza.
I am dying over pizza carpet because I had no idea anyone else also used that term, because I also call it that when I rub tomato sauce in my bush.
Man, I'm getting hot now.
Oh gosh!
I was gonna say, Jeremy, let me into your house, and I can attract the rats.
Oh, we can make some videos now.
That's how Ashley. Maybe it didn't say this, but the way that Ashley hides having a period is always having sex and using the lubricant as that Lido's sweet sauce, just throwing it down there. Because then, when the flow starts, the guy never knows, you know.
Tastes like pizza sauce with just a little bit of tangy blood there.
That is so funny. Be like, ooh, is this mozzarella? And I'm like, it's a little crumblier.
All that taint cheese.
Oh, God, taint cheese. Okay. So the movie starts to pick up pretty good after that. You do find out that there is a giant ritual sacrifice upstairs, and there is a retarded boy man thing that lives in the house as well.
You've passed over the Mary Warrenoff character already?
No. Tell us about the Mary Warrenoff character.
She comes in the back door. Obviously, Mary Warrenoff, who my favorite movie has to be Warlock, mm-hmm. who plays the psychic reader, who also does grope sessions.
Oh.
And she got stabbed early on in Devil's Rejects, and let's not forget the aerobics instructor from the TV show Sledgehammer, when Sledgehammer sets off a nuclear bomb, ending the season. So.
Yes, Mary Warnoff. She plays, obviously, the wife of Mr. Ullman, Tom Noonan, in this film. And
she goes back to Death Race 2000, and let's not also forget Eating Raoul. Her and the guy from Rock and Roll High School eating people.
So. I think you're forgetting her probably her most well-known film, which is, of course, Night of the Comet. But that's beside the point. I mean, Night of the Comet, right. That has to be...
That's not a great role.
I mean, it's bigger than the movie Warlock. I mean, I like Warlock. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big Adrian Sands fan. In fact, as a child growing up, for some reason, I had a giant poster in my room, probably given to me by one Jeremy Woodworth, of Warlock 2, which is just a giant picture of Adrian Sands that hung in my room through most of my adolescent life and was probably the reason I didn't have contact with a woman until I was like 19 years old. So
Warlock 2, one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah, so. Warlock 2 is a tough watch. Future quality time, I'm sure that's coming up somewhere down the line here.
But I'm sorry. After she gives the psychic reading and Satan himself takes over her body, she dies and he gets to take her eyeballs out to help lead him to find the rest of the Necronomicon. So.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking wild, bro. Mm. So, and she's great. Honestly, I like Mary Warnoff in this movie. I love when she goes upstairs after she's been stabbed to go confront Jocelyn, like in the attic, and she just has the knife in her back still, and she just pulls the fucking like her wig off, and she has like this weird fun cancer look that's underneath all of that. They ultimately gag and bind her and then bring her down to the basement where they the sacrifice starts, I guess, where they rub blood on her womb a little bit and essentially impregnate her with the child of the devil during this eclipse night. She is able to break free and has to kill the pizza guy, which is also weird. They bring her friend in who has her head blown off and just let her bloody body sit on the thing so she trips over it, it seemed like a lot of work for the pizza guy to do that. And we're like, well, what do you do with this body? Well, I'm going to leave it on the kitchen floor in case she runs, she'll slip on this blood. And this seems like the best type of trap that I could set up for her. I thought that was a fun, fun choice of Rambo-esque.
And you just know that if Sam Raimi had directed it, there would have been literally an entire more minute of her running in place in that blood.
Yes.
To try to get away. But it's just like fucking cartoonish, like fucking Tom and Jerry going.
So. Oh, gosh, I can barely walk. What is Ashley had her marinara sauce again? So,
it's my famous recipe.
And so,
By the way, Tampax for those heavy days.
And she does run out into the graveyard, leaving the house, and Tom Noonan chases her out, and she's like, it's cool. Hey, you can shoot me. Just shoot me. It's almost the eclipse time. You really can't undo this anymore. And she realizes that she has the son of Satan in her, and she decides to take the gun that she has and turn it on herself, ending the life of this weird satanic being that's growing within her right now. But it has a fun twist ending because guess what? Didn't do it the right way. Gotta put the gun in your mouth. Can't do it from the side. You always risk not killing yourself. And that's exactly what she did. You find out that she is alive after all of this and in like a coma in the hospital, but the baby is still fine. Oh no! Dun,
dun, let's not dun. Forget the satanic nurse that knows that she's got the incubator baby there, and let's not forget that ending music as soon as you realize isn't it ironic.
But overall, hey, listen, shout out Laura Sands. I know we shat on this movie a lot, and maybe it had some serious pacing issues, to be honest with you. I could have made cut this movie down to 45 minutes of good movie. Didn't mm-hmm. need to be an hour. It could have been cut in half, I feel like. Didn't need the Fix song and her dancing around and showing Walkmans like, hey, remember what the 80s was like? That's 80% of the movie is just remembering what the 80s was like.
You know, the only thing that could have made that scene better with her dancing around the whole house was just like have another second of just like while the music is still going, you just see the dead bodies in the room with the pentacle with the kid sitting there on the pentagram. So
hell yeah, bro.
Comes to another. Yeah.
Thing leads to another.
This was one of the best ripoffs of Burnt Offerings that I'd ever seen with Karen Black. So
I've never seen Burnt Offerings. You know what this movie really did remind me of? It reminded me of The Changeling with George C. fucking Scott.
Which is also like Burnt Offerings.
I think The Changeling, but The Changeling is one of those great movies where it's like, if you just want a house to be the scary thing of like, ooh, this is a scary house, The Changeling probably does that the best, I think. But the difference is, instead of Jocelyn Donahue, who is, okay, a fine actress, you get a very drunk and angry George C. Scott, which is fun. It's fun to watch George C. Scott just be mad. And, hey, you know what? I know we've mentioned this George C. Scott before. Obviously, we did The Exorcist 3. He's low-key kind of a horror icon between Firestarter and The Changeling and The Exorcist 3. George C. Scott, underappreciated horror film icon. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm. If I give my final 3 cents, mm-hmm. My only real regret from this movie is, of course, the casting. Because instead of Tom Noonan and Murray Warrenoff, they really should have had Sam Elliott and Cher for their fucking Rusty Dennis fucking son, you know? And the fucking Rusty Dennis up in the ceiling, he's like, "The things that bother me the most about being Satan's son is the sun on my face." Thank you. Mask 2, The House of the Devil. So.
Yes, Matt. Oh, so now this is actually The Mask. This is actually the pre-story to the Eric Stoltz Cher movie.
And you could have had Laura Dern as the girl in the house, and he ends up pouring his blood into her mouth, so she becomes pregnant. So.
I don't hate that. We actually, former guest on the show, Josie Marcellino, who does some really great work. If you check her out on Instagram, she's a cosplayer, and she does 31 costumes during the Halloween months, and every day it's just a new costume. You check out her shit, and her IG is up. You can go check her out. She cosplays, does that shit. But me and Tommy Simbazo suggested, like, hey, next year, do you think instead of one of her costumes was Jim Carrey's The Mask? And we were like, me and Tommy messaged her, we were like, hey, did you ever think that, like, maybe next year you could be a sexy, like, Eric Stoltz mask? And she didn't know what that was. She was like, you know, the movie with Cher. She's like, I don't know what that is. She's like, just Google Eric Stoltz mask. We want a sexy version of that. And she goes, we waited like 15 minutes and we got a message that said, "You're a fucking monster." So, so that was fun. So no, I don't know if she's going to do Rocky Dennis, but I'd love to see Rocky Dennis's weird, gigantic, misshapen face, but with some huge ass titties. So nothing would make me happier. So Joe,
By the way, my favorite heroine that Mask sells is the Bava.
So. Oh, the Bava?
The Bava, yeah.
I don't know what the Bava is. What is the Bava?
It's one of the three heroines that he sells in Pulp Fiction, so.
Okay. Yeah. That's the killer. That's that no play around. That's the stuff that'll kill you. Like, if you're Uma Thurman, you got to get a big old fucking needle to the heart.
Or just get put in a bathtub until you're drowning. So,
I guess that's it. So thanks, Laura Sands, for the movie suggestion. We appreciate you as a fan. If we ever ask you again, please pick a slightly better movie than this. Is what our ask is. Ashley is shocked that I said that on the podcast right now. They were like, "These are our fans." I was like, "No, I think Laura's cool. I think she'll know that's a joke." And also, please don't make us watch this movie again.
I don't think that she let us down. I think the film let us down.
That is true.
I had high hopes for it, and I was a little let down. But at the same time, it was worth that moment when she goes up the stairway and hits the light, and the lights go out, and you see that fucking feet underneath the door.
So. Yeah, there's some great things about this movie. Like I said, it just could have been 45 minutes and not 90 minutes. I'll tell you that.
You realize that Mask is living in the attic. So
yeah, I didn't regret watching it. I did enjoy it. I found some good things out of it. So, guys, Ashley, where can people find you at, darling?
You can find me on social media at Ashley Pontius Laughs.
And tell us about your new website. Is that up yet?
It is not up because I am too sick, but I'm hoping in the next week and a half, it'll be done.
Okay, so keep your eyes peeled for that. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. The second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month, hosted by Kimberly Callahan and Michael Quinlan. Get it in you. And make sure you check out our merch store. We're going to add some new things, maybe a Star Cucks t-shirt. Who knows? Jeremy, take us out of here.
I thought you said you weren't gonna scare him! Doesn't Mask look scared?
Tell us about the most uncomfortable BJ you've ever had. We're listening.
The girlfriend and I were behind her house, literally with her parents' home, under the deck. And her first time trying out, she's not really experienced or anything. But trying to not be noticed and everything, every once in a while you'd hear her just go...
A hundred percent true. Oh god.
And I'm thinking, if I'm her parents, like, huh, I think my daughter's sucking some guy off somewhere. I think I'm about to kill somebody.
Jesus.
Oh, good bit.